don't you have to? That's not a problem.
Oh, wow, we should read a great Sechus Svach. You have that one?
No.
That'd be interesting to you?
Probably.
Donate any more books.
We're not buying.
Right, we're not buying. Sammy's worried, really. Check the price up. The last time we started the second half of our Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and the Shita of Shimon Achi Azariah. The Tanakhama is of the opinion that in Shelo Lishma, the carbon is kosher, but lo ol lebailim l'shem chova. Shimon Achi Azariah, on the other hand, says it all depends. Are we talking l'shem gavoh mehen or l'shem nomuch mehen? Now, one question I want to ask is what's called gavoh and what's called nomuch? The Mishnah itself asks that question. So I'm in good company. Ketzad. And the Mishnah basically sets up a differentiation between two categories of kodshim. One is called kodshei kodshim, the other is kodshim kalim. In the case of kodshei kodshim, that's on a higher level, and if the shechitu is done l'shem kodshim kalim, which is on a lower level, that's called l'shem namuch, the carbon is pasul. On the flip side, if he shechts the kodshim kalim l'shem kodshei kodshim, that means he's raising the level of the kodesh. That's called l'shem gavah shebehem, and then the carbon is kosher. The Mishnah then gives a further elucidation. Bechar v'amaseh sheshchatan l'shem shlomim ksherim. Shlomim sheshchatan l'shem bechar l'shem maseh psun. So the first case, it's called gavah, because going from bechar and maser up to shlomim, that's intensifying the level of kedusha of the kodshim. But in the reverse, if he goes from shlomim and he has in mind l'shem bechar l'shem maser, that's called l'shem namuch shebehem. And Rashi here, dibra maskel l'shem namuch shebehem, says psuim l'gamrei. We'll come back to that Rashi a little bit later, because that's the subject of this Tosfos L'shem Gavah that we began. But now the second part of Rashi, Bechor U'maser, I'm not sure if this should be a Dibra Maskel unto itself. Anyway, Bechor U'maser Behema Nemuchim Mishlamim. So Rashi now is going to try to explain why is Bechor and Maser relative to Shlomim considered Namuch, such that if he had a Machsheves Bechor Maser L'shem Shlomim, that's L'shem Gavah. Whereas on the flip side, if he had in mind in a Shlomim L'shem Bechor V'Maser, that's considered L'shem Namuch. So Rashi quotes a sugya later on in Masechta Zvachim on Daf Peites, and it says there, "Bivnei Shashlomim Teunim Matan Arba Smicha Nisachim and Tnuvas Chazav Eshok." In other words, in the Maisa Krava, Shlomim has a high grade Maisa Krava with many different dimensions that don't apply at all in the cases of Bechor and Maser. So let's ask the following question. If Rashi says, based on a sugya in Peites, that Gavoa means that the Maisa Krova is upgraded and it has different features that don't apply to the Namuch, then what would be in the case of Asham L'Shem Chatos? And we can reverse it as well. Chatos L'Shem Asham. Because in that very sugi that Rashi quotes here on Daf Pei Tes, the Gemara is talking about what's called Kedima. If you have two kodshim, two karbonos, which one do you bring first? We would call it triage. And the Gemara establishes there in that sugya an entire hierarchy of karbonos where one kodshim gets kedima to the other kodshim. So for example, if you had a choice between being makriv a bechor or being makriv a karbon shlomim, you would be makriv the karbon shlomim first. And the Gemara explains because Karban Shlomim has a Maisa Krova that's very elaborate, that comprises many different elements to it, including Nesachim, including Smicha, including Tnufas Chaz V'Shok, all of which are omitted in the cases of Maser and Bechar. So therefore I would bring the Karban Shlomim first. And Rashi evokes, he quotes that Gemara in order to establish that according to Shimon Achi Azariah, if you had a machsheves b'char or maser in a korban shlomim, that would be namok shebahem. And shlomim is on a first grade level that's called gavoa relative to maser b'char, because the Gemara establishes that shlomim has such an embellished maisa krova that it comes first in kedima over b'char and maser. In the very same sugya, in Peites, the Gemara wants to know what comes first, Asham or Chatos. And the Gemara gives preference to Asham, because Asham also has a more sophisticated, complicated Maisa Krova. For example, in the case of a Chatos, we have what's called Matan Arba. That means the Domim has to be on all four Kronos of the Mizbeach. Whereas in the case of Asham, all you need is Matan Shtayim. So you put on two diagonal kronos. The Gemara also says that the Torah requires what's called Shfichas Dam al Yisod in the case of Chatos. So you have Shirayim of the Dam after he did the Zrika. Whatever's left in the Klishares has to be taken and poured on the Yisod. That's in the case of Chatos. The Torah doesn't say the same thing about Asham. So that which is at least Mefurish in the Torah is that Chatos has Shvichas Dam al Yisod, whereas Asham does not. So the Gemara therefore says that since the Maisa Krova of a Karbon Chatos is that much more sophisticated, Narba and so forth and so on, relative to Asham, therefore, if you have a choice which to bring first, if all things are equal, then you'd be Makriv the Chatos first and the Asham second. Applying that logic here to Shimon Achi Azariah, the way Rashi presents it, then Asham, relative to Chatos, becomes Namuch. And therefore, if let's say he shechts a Karban Chatos with a Machshav L'Shem Asham, according to Shimon Achi Azariah, what would be the din? Possible. Right? Because what's the principle of Shimon Achi Azariah? That whenever you shecht with a Machshav L'Shem Namuch Shebehen, like, for example, in the case of Shlomo, where he shechted L'Shem Bechor Maser, since Bechor Maser are naked of all those different dimensions that apply to a Karban Shlomim, we listed four of them, therefore the Karban becomes possible. The same logic should apply in the case of Chatos L'Shem Asham. And this is what Rabbi Kivega points out here on the Daf, that according to Shimon Achi Azariah, if a chatus was shechted for machshav l'shem asham, the carbon is possible. Why? Because Shimon Achi Azariah says that when you're able to do the shechita l'shem namoch shemahem, the carbon is possible. Comes along the Keren Ora, who is more or less a contemporary of Rabbi Kivega, maybe a little bit younger than Rabbi Kivega, and he disagrees. He says, let's start the mission of Shimon Achi Azariah. The mission of Shimon Achi Azariah begins with an abstract statement of L'Shem Gavoa versus L'Shem Namuch. And then it goes on to say Ketzad. And the Ketzad is coming to define the parameters of the Shita of Shimon Achi Azariah. Ketzad, it says, Kodshim Kalim, Shachtu L'Shem Kodshim L'Shem Kodshim Kalim, Kodshim Kalim L'Shem Kodshim Kodshim. That's considered Gavoa and Nomch. In other words, we're not, says the Keren Or, we're not going to get involved in specific karbanos. We're going to just look at klolim, at general categories. We're not looking at the totals, we're looking at the avos. I'm a little bit mushba because we spent a lot of time here in Masechta Shabbos. There are two avos in kodshim. There's kodshim kalim and kodshim kodshim. If you cross over from one to the other, you have machsheves kodshim kalim and kodshim kodshim, that's considered L'shem Noch, or the reverse, L'shem Gavoah. Those are two fundamentally different categories. But if, for example, in the case of Rabbi Kiveger, where he shechted a Karban Chatos L'shem Asham, even Shimon Achi Azariah would agree that the Karban is Kosher. Why? Because both Chatos and Asham are Kodshei Kodshim. And within Kodshei Kodshim, there's no such thing as L'shem Noch Shemen. That's what the Mishnah wanted to clarify and elucidate by the Ketzad, that it's got to go from one category to the other, meaning from Kodshim Kodshim to Kodshim Kalim, but within each category itself, there's no such thing as Namuch, there's no such thing as Gavah. And therefore, since both Asham and Chatos, in Rabbi Kivega's case, are Kodshim Kodshim Kodshim, therefore there would be no Namuch Shebehen, and the Karma would be Kosher. It's interesting because, just a comment on the side, it comes out according to the Keren Orah that within Kodshei Kodshim, like for example, when you talk about Asham and Chatos, it falls sort of in the cracks, in between the cracks, because it's neither L'shem Gavah Shebehem nor is L'shem Namach Shebehem. But obviously, from the perspective of the Keren Orah, that doesn't create any psul in the Karaman, because the psul is because L'shem Namach Shemen. And L'shem Namach Shemen means you have to take it out of that general category. Can anybody ask a kasha on the Keren Orah from our Mishnah? The Mishnah doesn't stop with Ketzad number one, it has Ketzad number two. What's the second Ketzad in the Mishnah? I don't mean literally the word ketzah, but I mean, what's the second case that the Mishnah uses to elucidate the machlokes between Shimon, Achi Azariah, and the Chachamim? Bechor and Maser, that was shechted l'shem Shlomim, or Shlomim that was shechted l'shem Bechor Maser. And the Mishnah explicitly says that that's considered Gavah or Namach. Now the deal is the following. Bechor, Maser, and Shlomim all belong to the same category, namely what? Kodshim Kalim. According to Keren Orah, there's a Pella going on over here. When we're talking about general categories and what's considered, what qualifies as Novach or Gavoah, then we talk about Kodshim Kalim versus Kodshei Kodshim. But when we're talking about Bechor Maser on the one hand and Shlomim on the other, all of which are Kodshim Kalim, we're going to get down into the trenches here, so to speak, into the details. And here we're going to say that it's L'shem Noach and L'shem Gavah. And this seems to undermine the whole fundamental principle or the logical approach of the Keren Orah. Is everybody with me on this kasha? Mm-hmm. You know, the Keren Orah is very good when you read the resha, so to speak, of the Ketzad. But when you get to the Sefer, it blows the whole thesis of the Keren Orah out of the water. And we're back to Rabbi Kiveger. Rabbi Kiveger is going to say that you see proof, positive, from the case of Bechor v'Maser L'shem Shlomim and vice versa, that even though we're within the same general av of Kodshim, the same general super category of Kodshim, but we can still break it down into Namuch and Gavah. And basically Namuch and Gavah, according to Rabbi Kiveger, has only one barometer, one litmus test, and that's the Ma'is HaKrova. If the Ma'is HaKrova is more sophisticated and it has more dimensions to it, and therefore it's going to generate a din of Kedima, that's called Gavah. And if it has less dimensions to it, then it's going to be called Namuch. And don't tell me that only applies from Kodshei Kodshim to Kodshim Kalim. It applies even within Kodshei Kodshim, as it does even within Kodshim Kalim. So Mikvegan just has to quote the Sefer of our Mishnah, where within the category of Kodshim Kalim, we still set up a bifurcation, if you will, between Gavah and Namuch, and that all reflects the question of Maisa Krava. And the proof of the pudding is that Rashi himself, when he wants to illustrate why Shlomim is considered Gavoa vis-a-vis Maser and Bechar, he invokes the Sugya on the Apeites of Kedima, and the Sugya of Kedima formulates the principle that it all depends on the Maisa Krava. Shlomim has a very sophisticated Maisa Krava with many different variables and additions, dimensions, which are lacking in the cases of Maser and Bechar. And therefore Rashi says Shlomim is clearly a Gavoa vis-a-vis Bechar Maser. So it says Rabbi Kivega, let's just take that one step further and apply that to the case of Kachim. Just like within Kachim Kalim, you're gonna set up a stratization. You know, there's a whole different strata of Gavon. So I can do the same thing in Kachim Kachim, and I can take Oshem and Chatos. The Gemara says in the same sugi that Rashi quotes that the Chatos comes before the Oshem.
Can you try to find a third category? Would that work?
I guess that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to say that somehow, because I can't believe the Karanor is, you know what I mean to say? I don't want to say words that I'll regret. You know, I can't believe he's a dumbbell, you know, so to speak, and he didn't read the last part of the Mishnah. So we're going to have to somehow generate a new category in which when we get to Kachim Kalim, we're going to somehow still subdivide it based on the Maisa Krova, but we're not willing to do that in Kachim. Again, it's a tall order.
There's no notar. Is there? There's no concept of notar or zman for maser and bechor, which may be a big difference between that and shlomim.
Why is it no din? It's nechal konim, no?
It's nechal konim, but it's not
a zman
issue.
It's one day or 2 days.
I don't remember.
Is it in Karbanos
in the morning, right?
Yeah, what is it? One day or 2 days. Just remind me. That's, I think, the fourth parak of Zvachim. We're doing the first parak as well.
Fifth.
You want to look that up?
You pass it.
Take out a Siddur, take out a Mishnah, take out a Gemara, whatever you like. Now, Rabosai, what I'd like to do with you now is take a look at the last line and a half, if you will. What, Yom Belayla?
Shnei
Yom Belayla. That's good. Take a look at the last two lines. It's really a line and a half of Tosas Divya Maskel Hashem Gavar.
Where are we?
We're on Beis Amud Aleph. Okay, that you should have open in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of Rashi, we're going to look at Tosas now. And you see a Tosas that says Lashem Gavar?
Mm-hmm.
It's the next, it's the third Tosas up from the bottom, if I count correctly. But we're looking at the last two lines in Tosas. Let me just give an introduction to the last two lines in Tosas. Our Mishnah, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, says that if there was Shalol Lishma, again, I'm not talking about Chatas and Pesach, leave that on the side, but in all Karbanos, Shalol Lishma is Ksherim V'lo Olu L'Bailim L'Shem Chova. Now, in the case of Shimon Achi Azariah, let's talk about L'Shem Noach Shebehen. Shimon Achi Azariah says that what's the status of a Shalol Lishma L'Shem Noach Shebehen? What's the din? Everybody? Possible. Correct? L'Shem Noach Shebehen, I meant to say. Is possible. What does that word possible mean? I'm going to throw out a ridiculous possibility and hopefully you'll all reject it, which is good. Namely, that maybe the word posel means it's kosher, but it's eino ola b'ilum l'shem chova. Now, you might say to me, well, that has to be wrong. Why does that have to be wrong? Why does the word posel have to mean by definition that the covenant is completely posel, absolutely posel, just throw it in the rubbish? Because otherwise there's no machlokas between Shimon Achi Azariah and the Chachamim. Yeah. You know, Shimon Achi Azariah, in the case of Shem Noach, is adding a new element into the equation, namely that the carbon is possible Shem Noach. Whereas the Tanakhama never accepted that principle. According to Tanakhama, in the case of the Shem Noach, like the case of the Shem Gavar, the din doesn't change, and the carbon is kosher, but it's low all the way on the Shem Chov. If you're going to repeat the same thing in Shimon Achi Azariah, you're going to be left with no machlokes. It's just a difference in terminology, maybe, but they're saying exactly the same thing. So Tosa says that that's no proof. That Enochinami, the word posel, could mean, in the case of Shimon Achi Azaria with Nomuk Shemahen, that it's kosher vein ol by Moshem Chov. Ah, you'll ask me, so what's the machlokes? The machlokes is in the case of Lashem Gavah. That's where they're arguing, which is one side of the Gemara later on in Daf Yud Aleph. Namely, that whereas the Chachamim would argue that in the case of Lashem Gavah, the Karban is kosher vein ol by Moshem Chov, because they have an absolute rule of Shina Kodesh. Shimon Achi Azariah says, no, if L'shem Gavah, you're upgrading the Kedusha of the Karban, therefore the Karban is kosher, and it's all the Bible of L'shem Chofa. So we're back to square one. I'm going to reframe my original question now. When, in the case of L'shem Novak, Shimon Achi Azariah says, L'shem Novak, Shimon, the Karban is possible, what does that mean? Perhaps, if I want to be very argumentative about it, it means that the carbon is kosher, but it's ain't all the Bayam L'shem Chova. And if you'll counter argument, if so, there's no machlokas between Shimon Achi Azariah and the Chachamim, I'll tell you there is machlokas in the case of L'shem Gavah Shimon. So the last line in Tosfos is dedicated to the following objective. He wants to prove that the word posel in Shimon Achi Azariah means posel agamre. Because he hasn't really successfully convinced us, you know, we're still playing the devil's advocate here, we're still saying that maybe the word posel means lo ol l'bayil l'shem chova. So Tosis says, yesh l'dadek mi gufa d'masnisen, that the word posel means posel agam. How? How so? Ha'bachar v'amasah sheshchatam l'shem shlomim. If he upgrades it, then ksher. Why? Mishum da'avi l'shem gavah shebehem. Now, what happens here in the case of shlomim l'shem b'charo maser, that's already l'shem nomuch, is mifsalei. Shimon Achi Azari says the carbon is posel. Hainu posel gavah. Hainu le'inyan, I don't know, the word le'inyan I think you could omit here, in my humble opinion, but hainu le'inyan posel gomor. How do I know that the word posel means posel gomor in the case of shlomim l'shem b'char v'masa, meaning l'namuch shehem? Says Tosfos, these are the key words that I'd like you to underline, d'v'e b'char u'masa lo shayach lo ol l'baylim l'shem chov. Let me try to explain. And the Masifta has something here which I couldn't make heads or tails of, but I think I'm better off here without the Masifta, in my humble opinion. What he means is the following. We take Bechar V'Masa on the one hand, and we take Shlomim on the other hand. And we're going to set it up as either in this direction or that direction, either L'Shem Gavah or L'Shem Nomuch. Shimon Achi Azariah says that if it's L'Shem Nomuch, it's possible. If it's L'Shem Gavah, it's kosher. Now, what Tosfos wants to analyze is the following. That the word kosher, in the case of L'shem Gavah, again, does everybody have everything's charted out for us. We have Bechar and Maser on the one hand, and we have Shlomim on the other hand. We know that Bechar and Maser is Nomuch, and Shlomim is Gavah. So now, let's take a look at Bechar V'Maser. Bechar V'Maser, if I want to argue that a Shalom L'shma took place, what we call a Shini Kodesh, in Bechar V'Maser, and now what's going to be determined is whether or not it's kosher or posel, and let's play the devil's advocate, and let's say that posel here would mean that it's eino ol l'bayil l'shem chova. Says Tosfos, that concept of eino ol l'bayil l'shem chova is inapplicable, totally inapplicable, with regard to Bechar Maser. Why? Because Bechar V'Maser fit into a very unique category in which there is no Ritzui Karban on behalf of anyone. Meaning that the din of Bechor Maaser is that the Torah requires that these be Nikrav al Gabi Mizbeach. Again, the obligation of the Bailim is obviously to bring the Bechor after he's Mafrish the Bechor and he's Magdish it. Again, Bechor is Kodosh Mirechem Imo, but he has to do a Maisak Dosh or whatever the dinim are. And in the case of Maaser, he has to count 10 behemoths until he puts the thing on the 10th behemoth. He says Asiri Kodesh, and now he has to bring it to the Mizbeach. Once he brings it to the Mizbeach, he's out of the picture. There is no issue of all the Bailam Hashem Chova. The Kohanim, the Migdash, has to be makriv these Korbanos, call it Bechor, call it Maaser. But says Tosis, it's not all the Bailam Hashem Chova. The Bailam fulfill whatever obligation they have, the minimal obligation, as soon as they bring the carbon to the Mizbeach, to the Kohanim. Now the Kohanim take over, and they have to be makir of the carbon. Therefore, in a case of Shinui Kodesh, with regard to Bechor and Maaser, which again could either be, in Shimon Achiyazar's frame of reference, either Gavah or Namuch, whatever Kavana, whatever mistaken Kavana he had, whatever wrong Kavana he had.
He meaning the Kohen.
The Kohen, I mean to say. Now the issue is whether it's kasha legamri or posel legamri. There's no issue of shelo olu lebayim l'shem chova olu lebayim l'shem chova. That distinction is totally irrelevant because there is no chova over here as far as the carbon itself is concerned. Again, there may be a chova that he has to bring the carbon, he has to be mafresh the carbon, whatever it might be. But as far as that krov al gabi mizbeach, he has no obligation whatsoever. There's no chiyuv.
What's less than bechor and maaser?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't know. This only works if you have something less.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I owe you an answer to that question.
I'm gonna
have to defer that question. I had the same question in my mind. Exactly what would be l'shem namuk shebahen. But be that as it may, when we talk about bechor v'maaser, I think this is the thrust that what Tosa wants to say. What the issues that hinge on Namuch and or are determined by Namuch and Gavah only are kashrus and paslus. There's no middle ground in the case of Bechor or in the case of Maaser. Therefore, says Tosfos, you see that whenever Shimon Achi Azariah is attacking or addressing the issue of Bechor and Maaser, he's talking not about Olu L'Shem Bailam or Lo Olu L'Shem Bailam. He's either talking about Kosher Legamre or Posel Legamre. And if the carbon is posel legamri, again, Rav Gadal is asking me exactly the hechatim, so I don't have it now, but we'll come up with a case of l'shem namuch in bechor v'maaser. If we had l'shem namuch in bechor v'maaser, then eino chinami, the carbon we completely posel, throw it into the rubbish. So this distinction between this, you know, you're hinging, well, will it be kosher, will it be posel? That question of kosher and posel is from one extreme to the other. It doesn't know any middle ground. It cannot know any middle ground. There is no shackles of a middle ground here of kosher, but lo ol, l'bayim l'shem chova. That's totally, those words are totally out of place with regard to Bechor and Maaser. So Tosis therefore says the following. If I need to prove that the word posel in our Mishnah, when it's used, is used in the framework of posel agamre, I have it in the case of Bechor and Maaser. Okay. Now this, I think, could possibly give us a window of opportunity to understand the Karen Ora. Let's go back to the Karen Ora. The Karen Ora says that if you would shecht a chatos l'shem osham, even according to Shimon Achi Azariah, even though you might argue that it's namuch shebahen, because as we said in Maisa Krova, there's no question that Oshem is inferior to Chatos, but nevertheless, it would be kosher. Even according to Shimon Achi Azariah, this would not be considered l'shem namuch shebahen. Why? Because they're both kochi kochi. So we ask the following question. If that be the case, what are we going to do with the Sefer of the Mishnah? The Sefer of the Mishnah is addressing various kinds of korbanos that all belong to the same category called kodshim kalim, and yet Shimon Achi Azariah is going to say it's possible. Ah, the Karen Ora is not going to be bothered by that. Because there it's two different categories. Here's where you generate the third din. In other words, when you're talking about a shlomim on the one hand against Bechor and Maaser on the other hand, there the L'shem Namuch is a totally different kind of L'shem Namuch. excuse me, it's not the L'shem Novak that we've been operating with until this point, which is in the Maisa Akrava. What we're doing is we're setting up a new barometer, a new litmus test, so to speak, for Gavoa and Nomach. When you have a carbon that has a kapara element to it, it's meratzeh on behalf of the Bailim. That's one kind of carbon, and that's called Gavoa. So you'll say to me, wait a minute, if that be the case, then all carbonas are Gavoa. You can never have Nomach from that perspective. But that's your litmus test. Whether or not it's meratzeh on behalf of the Bailim, every single carbon by definition is meratzeh on the Bailim. Nay. There are two carbonos out of all the whole constellation of Kodshim, which are unique, and they have no ritzui. There's no element of Ol Shem Bailim. And how do I know this? I know it from Tosis. Because Tosis says, that's why I'm going to prove to you that in the case of Bechor and Maaser, Pusel means Pusel Agamri. There's no room for a middle ground to say, well, it's Kosher, but it's not Ol Bailim Shem Chova. There is no Ol Bailim Shem Chova. There's no Ritzui in the case of Bechor and Maaser. It's just a matter of bringing the carbon on the Mizbeach, but it has nothing to do with the Bailim. Forget about the Bailim. You know, the Bailim bring the carbon, and then they go off on a long trip. We used to say to Florida. Now I have to say to Alaska, because I see Florida's out of style now. Everyone's going to Alaska.
From here.
Yeah, from here. I don't know. I never made it to Alaska. I've been to Florida many times, but I guess the next thing on my list is going to have to be Alaska. Anyway, so the Bailim now just take a long trip. They're totally out of the picture. And therefore, the mission establishes a new criterion, according to the Keren Orah, for Nomach and Gavoa. Meaning that at some point, the carbon is lacking in the entire enterprise of Lishma, because what's the Lishma here? The Lishma usually means for the sake of the Kapara. Right? And there's a different Kapara in each carbon, and so forth and so on. But comes along the Keren Orah, and he establishes that there are two radically different kinds of carbonas. One is Kachim Kalim versus Kachim Kachim. That's a radical difference in which it's really L'shem Gavoa, L'shem Nomach. And then you could divide Kachim into another two categories, which is also Nomach and Gavoa. There are Kachim that are brought for the purpose of Ritzui. The Dam, once it's given to the Mizbeach, is Mechaper on behalf of the Bailim. And then there's such a thing as bringing a carbon on the Mizbeach that has no element whatsoever of Ritzui. The Dam is not Mechaper on behalf of anybody. The Bailim are out of the picture. And that's already L'shem Nomach Shemek. Okay.
Is there an interplay between Bechor and Maaser of Gavoa?
No, I think they're both on the same level.
They're on the same
level. The Mamish and Dinam are exactly identical. Not only in the fact that they're not all L'shem Bailim, L'shem Cho, but also in the Maisakro. So now, what I'd like to show you inside here, again, I'm always assuming that you have a copy of the Nefesh Tova, because I want to exempt myself from all the responsibility of doing the photocopying. That's a major upgrade in my life. That's Mamash L'shem Gavoa. So I'd like you to open up to Oschav Gimel. Again, in my edition, because I have the earlier Madura, it's on page Chav Hey. You'll have to tell me what page it's on in yours. Probably Chav Vav or something like that. Oschav Gimel.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Oschav Gimel, but page Chav Hey.
Yeah.
Oh, it's also on page Chav Hey. Okay, so we're still on the same page. Now, if you don't mind, Rabosai, take a look at Oschav Gimel. It's a pretty short Os. I'm going to use the minute or two to just review in my mind what we've said and make sure that I didn't leave anything out. Just one second. Oh. Okay. In Oschav Gimel, he quotes a Brisker Rav. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
And listen carefully. The Brisker Rav claims that even in Bechor and Maaser, there's something called Olu L'Shem Bailin, L'Shem Chova. I mean, it's mamish against Tosfos, but, and he proves it from the Rambam. Now, where is this Rambam? So this Rambam is in the second parak of Chagiga, of Hilchas Chagiga. It's another example of how all of Kachim is interdependent, it's interwoven. So the Rambam says, if you have a bechar or a masa behema in your corral, you can bring it as shalmei chagiga to fulfill the mitzvah of shalmei chagiga. Now, let's say the bechar and the maser was shechted shalo l'shma. Okay. Let's say it was l'shem Namuch Shebahen, according to Shimon Achi Azaria. Would there be a relevance now as to whether or not it's Ol L'Bailim L'shem Chova? Would there be an afkamina? We've been working with the assumption that with regard to Bechar and Maaseh, Shalol L'shma is totally irrelevant, as it's only relevant if you could have l'shem Namuch according to Shimon Achi Azaria and Pasul L'Karbon. But as far as Ol L'Bailim L'shem Chova, that category of kosher, but ain't Ol L'Bailim L'shem, that category has no application whatsoever, no relevance to Bechar and Maaseh. But now let's introduce the Rambam frontal stage. And the Rambam is telling us that you can take a Bechar and a Maaseh, and you could use it for the chova of Shalmei Chagiga. So now what happens if there was a psul of Shalol L'shma in the Machshavas HaKohen in Bechar and Maaser? Again, Mimonashav. Either you're going according to the Chachomim of HaMishnah, or you're going according to the Havamina in Shimon Achi Azariah, that even Shimon Achi Azariah says Tosfos might mean that if there was a some sort of a shini in the Kodesh, then it might not be Ola L'Shem Bailim L'Shem Chova. Tosfos rejects that because he says B'Mitzias there is no such thing. In Bechar Maaser you cannot even address the question, raise the question of Eino Ola L'Bailim L'Shem Chova. There's no Chova in this case of Bechar. There's no Chova in the case of Maaser. But now what we're saying is we want to know if the carbon is kosher, and now the Bailim want to use it for a Chova L'Shem. Which Chova? Which Chova do they have that they can use this carbon for? Shalmei Chagiga. So when we look at this carbon, which again officially it's called a Maaser or called a Bechar, what we're saying is that the Bailam could bring this carbon and be Yotzei Zayin, their Chiyuv of what? Of Shalmei Chagiga, according to what the Rambam says. Now if that be the case, then according to the Rambam, we want to know if he had a Shini Kodesh. Let's say, for example, according to Shimon Achi Azari, it would be Namuch Shebahen, and then according to that Tosfos is trying to work out whether or not we could apply the principle of the Chachamim of HaMishnah, namely Koshev Ein Ol L'Bailim L'Shem Chova. Here would be a relevancy, there would be a relevant discussion about whether or not it's kosher, because if it's kosher, I want to know, can it serve as a Kiyum Chovas Shalmei Chagiga? And the answer is, but there was a Shini Kodesh, and therefore, if it's Namuch Shebahen according to Shimon Achi Azari, or in general according to the Chachamim, it's Ein Ol L'Bailim L'Shem Chova. He can't use this carbon for the purpose of his Chova. Why? Because the Kohen had in mind a Shini Kodesh. That's the cash of the Briska Rav.
But that's in the same family.
We're all in the same family, Yosef. It's all part of the same family. But what we're saying is that if we're going to use this concept of the irrelevancy of Eino Ola L'Bailim L'Shem Chov in the cases of Bechar and Maaser, which, number one, Tosfos uses to establish that the word Pasul means Pasul Agamre, because it's irrelevant to talk about Shalol L'Shem Bailim. If our premise that Shalol Ola L'Shem Bailim doesn't apply to Bechar and Maaser is going to be used to explain the Karen Orah, I don't know if Zev you were aware of the Karen Orah, but the Karen Orah says it's got to be all in the same family, or just the opposite. In order to be Pasul L'Shem Namuch, it's got to be in a different family. And the Karen Orah is going to insist, well, this is considered a different family because it's not all the Bailam Hashem Chova, but that's not true because the Rambam says that Bechor and Masa could be all the Bailam Hashem Chova. What Chiv can they fulfill the Bailam in the case of Bechor and Masa? The Chiv of Shalmei Chagiga. So it is all the Bailam Hashem Chova. But notice when that carbon is brought in his back, there's a Ritzi Karmon on behalf of the Bailam insofar as the Chovas Shalmei Chagiga is concerned. That's what the Rambam says.
I
don't know, I'd have to research that more, but again, I don't want to get off the tangent here, but you can trust me on this, it applies to both Bechor and Maaseh.
Must be of coins.
It could be anyone's Bechor, as long as
Bechor can't, because it's all goes to the coin, the Bechor.
Okay, that's a technical issue, but I'm just saying, let's talk about Maaseh, okay? Stachabosai, we now have a very exciting possibility that opens up in front of our eyes, that in the case of Maser, you can have an issue of Ol Bailam L'Shem Chovo, not Ol Bailam L'Shem Chovo. And what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me the following, that, well, there is no Ritzli Karbon in the case of Bechor, a case of Maser, and therefore it's either kosher or pasul, but that's not really true because now we've established that there is a Ritzli Karbon. And I'll give you another sugya. This is really fascinating. That also seems to assume that in Bechor and Maaseh there's a Ritzli Karbon. The Gemara wants to know what's the deal. This is a sugya later on in Daf Ayin Daled. In the case of an Orel and a Tomei, an Orel and a Tomei obviously cannot bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, but there's a din of Sholeach Karbonosa of the Beis HaMikdash, that they could simply ship off the carbon without showing up in the Beis HaMikdash through a Shliach, and he's going to bring the carbon. And the Gemara wants to illustrate this. And the Gemara says that if, let's say, an Orel or a Tomei have a Bechor or a Maser, the Gemara says that they can be Meshalech Karbonoseim LeBeis HaMikdash. And this is the outstanding example that the Gemara quotes for Orel v'Tomei Meshalchin Karbonoseim LeBeis HaMikdash. Meaning, the Gemara wants to prove that you can be Yotze Yochiv if you cannot bring the carbon yourself by sending it through a shliach. And the Gemara uses what case to prove this, to demonstrate that you could be Makayim Yochiv in the carbon by sending it through someone else, if you're a Tomei or Norel, the cases of Bechor Maaseh. So the Brisker Rav says, you see from this that even in the case of Bechor Maaseh Yotzei Zayin, there is some relationship to the Bailim. If there's no relationship to the Bailim, as we said before, as soon as he brings the carbon to the Kohanim in the Azara, then he can go off to Florida and go on a long vacation, and he's completely cut off from the Bailis of the carbon. If that be the case, then why is the Gemara quoting this as a paradigm of Meshalech Karbonosov, that he can fulfill his Chiyuv and be Yotzei Zayin through a Shliach? What do you mean, Yotzei Zayin what? There is no Chiyuv. It's not a little Bailim L'Shem Chov at all, says Tosfos. So you see that there is some relationship to the Bailim. You may remember, I don't know, this was about 2 weeks ago, but I don't know, I never know if it was in this room, this day or another day, we had a long discussion about a carbon that is not Ol L'Shem Bailim L'Shem Chova. For example, there was a Shini Kodesh. This was whether or not it's still related to the Bailim, even though it's not Ol L'Shem Chovos. Do you remember this? We had Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, and we had the Brisker Rav. We had a Sugya Nazir, that the Nazir was Megaleach, and then they brought the Karbon Shalol Shema, and it's not Ol L'Bailim L'Shem Chov, but yet he was Yotzei Zayin according to one day, I think it was Rav Shimon, on his Tiglachas Nazir. So you see that even when it's not Ol L'Bailim L'Shem Chovos, it still relates to the Bailim, and they are still considered the Balak Karbon. So the carbon is being nikrav al shmam, and therefore he can be yotzei in the midst of teglachas nazir. So here also, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, but in the case of the tamim,
Oh, see, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
In case someone was tamei, right?
Yeah,
he has an obligation to bring it. So he can't bring it because he's tamei. So he sends it through a shaliach.
Right.
So again, he only has the obligation to bring it. So it doesn't.
No, but you have to understand that the sugya there at Daf Ayin Dalet is trying to indicate that you could be yotze your chiyuv. The Gemara is talking about chiyuv karbon, chiyuv akrova. That in some sense, this karbon is related to you through the process of akrova, even though it's sent through a shliach. I mean, if you're just saying, you know, he has to send it, he doesn't have to send through a shliach. He can put it in a carriage, you know, and send it in the belly of a locomotive engine. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a din of shlichus. It's not just I call up the kohen and I say, here, I got a bechor, come and pick up the bechor. You know, for that I don't need mishalech or benoso.
No, he has to bring it, so he's
but again, not physically bring it. It's got to be nikrav al gabi mizbeach. Do you understand? His chiyuv does. His chiyuv is not just a technical chiyuv that has to get from location X to location Y. For that, he can put it in the bottom of a freight car. Okay. You know what I'm saying? That's not mishaleh karbonosov. The chiddush of mishaleh karbonosov is that through this process of shiluach hakarbon, he can be yotzi his chiyuv hakrova. And some sense that when the Kohanim are being makriv this karbon, they're doing it on behalf of so-and-so, who could not come personally for whatever reason, but he sent it through a shliach. So you see, the Brisker Rav says that even though when we talk about Eino Olo L'Bailim L'Shem Chova, nevertheless, there is some relationship between this karbon and the Bailim, to the extent to which we might suggest that in the case of Bechor and Maser, if it relates to the Bailim, they could be Yotze Lechiyuv of Shalmei Chagiga, which is the Rambam Sheet in the case of Bechor and Maser. Oh, so now comes along Rabbi Shimon Achi Azari, and he says, well, you shechted l'shem noch, and it's posel. Yeah, but what does the word posel mean? The word posel could mean, if I want to be argumentative, that's no, it's not all the Bible l'shem chova, my nafkamina, whether he could be yotzi, it's chiyuv of shalmei chagiga. He sent this karbon, he brought this karbon, the Torah shalmei chagiga. And he has the right, he has the opportunity to be yotzi, so I take advantage of this Maser Behemo, in order to fulfill his mitzvah of what? Of Shalmei Chagiga. So you see that there is a relationship between the Karbon and the Bailim, and he can fulfill his Chiyuv, and that's against Tosfos. Now, I don't think that this has to necessarily upset the Keren Ora. I'll tell you why. The Keren Ora still understands that there's no ritzui karbon in the case of Bechor and Maser. Again, if he wants to use it for a chiyuv of Shalmei Chagiga, that's fine. But that's not the classical case that the Mishnah is addressing. The Mishnah is addressing a case of Bechor and Maser stam. You know, there is no Shalmei Chagiga, it's the whole year round. And the Mishnah establishes that if he shechts it l'shem gavoah, it's kosher. If he shechts it according to Shimon Achi Azari l'shem namuch, it's posel. And Tosfos points out very well that the word posel in this context means that it's not what? It's not all the bayil l'shem chovah. There is no chovah. There is no ritzui karbon on his behalf. Again, you can come over the hechatimtza where it might be a ritzui karbon, but that's not what Shimon Achi Azari is talking about. So therefore, the Keren Ora is absolutely correct that if you compare, for example, Shlomim to Bechor and Maser, even though they all belong to the same family, namely what? Kachim Kalim, but nevertheless there's a fundamental difference between the two, where Shlomim is Meratzeh with a Ritzui Karbon, Bechor and Maser have no element of Ritzui Karbon. And that's called L'shem Namach Shebehem. That has nothing to do with Chatos and Osham. Because in the case of Chatos and Osham, you have a Ritzui Karbon in both Karbonos, and the only difference is in the Seder Akrava, in the Maisa Akrava. That's not enough according to the Keren Ora to set it up as Namach. So they both have Ritzui, they're both considered Kochim, they belong to the same family, and here Shimon Achi Azariah says the Keren Ora is going to admit that the Karbon is Kosher, even though he shechted it not L'Shem Chatos, but rather L'Shem Osham. And everything is wonderful. Ay, Bechor and Maser, and vis-a-vis Shlomim, there you're talking about the absence of Ritzui Karbon. Again, the Brisker Rav did somersaults in the air, and he came up with a scenario in which, even in the case of Bechor and Mas, you could have Ritzui Karban if he wants to bring it in, on behalf of or as a Chova of Shalmi Chagiga. That's true, but that doesn't undermine the position of the Keren Orah. So it would be very interesting. What would the Keren Orah say? I mean, you can just guess, but based on our understanding, what would the Keren Orah say about a case of a Bechor or Maser, where the Bailin brought the Karban, brought the Bechor, let's say, or the Maser to the Mizbeach, on behalf of his Chiyuv of Karban Chagiga. And the Shechita was done L'shem Noch. Again, we have to come up with a Hechet Timtzum. So would we say in such a case that the Karban is Kosher v'lo ol Bailin L'shem Chova? Why? Because the distinction here just the opposite. In this case, let me just get this straight. In this case, the Keren Orah would say that the carbon is ol l'bailim l'shem chova. Right. That even Shimon Achi Azari would admit that the carbon is ol l'shem chova. Why? Because according to the Keren Orah, the whole reason why this is considered namok shebehem, even though it's all kachi kachim, is because v'char maser are completely devoid of what? Of a ritzui karbon l'shem chova. But now that he brought it for the purpose of shalmei chagiga, now he gets a ritzui karbon from the v'char maser. So in that case, we're back to square one. Namely, that since they belong to the same family and they're all kachim kalim, is therefore Shimon and Machia Zari would not apply the principle of l'shem namok shebehem. But take a look here in the paragraph on page, what page was it? Page Chaf Gimel. Divra Maskil Ella.
In which sif?
Again, we're looking at Os Chaf Gimel in the second paragraph. It should be on your page Chaf Hei, I meant to say. And it's a paragraph that starts Ella. Here he says the following. The Brisker Rav is assuming that if the Karban, let's call it Maser, was brought in a way that there was a Shinui Kodesh, then it would be a problem, again, if it's Namok Shebehen, of L'shem Chova, if he wanted to be Yotze the Mitzvah of what? Shalmei Chagiga.
So he's thinking here of Ola, or something like this, right?
Well, I don't know about Ola here, because he's talking about Shimon Achi Azariah, so we want to get a situation of L'shem Namok Shebehen. If you take a look at the last three words in the previous paragraph, you'll see, he says, V'choshav L'shem Namok. Again, so I don't know exactly.
I don't know how Namuk can you get.
L'chor, we've reached the bottom of the barrel. I don't know. But let's just, again, Rabosa, only because I want to get the conceptual framework here, let's grant the Rosh Hashiva the following license, that he came up with a case of Choshav L'shem Namuk Shemen. Okay? So now, what's going on here? Choshav V'maser L'shem Kodesh Acher. And the Brisker Rav says that if he wants to be Yotze the mitzvah of Shalmei Chagiga, since there was a Shini Kodesh, the law would be that the carbon is kosher, but ain't no ol bayim l'shem chova. Right? Because again, he wants to be Yotze Zayin the mitzvah of Shalmei Chagiga. Everybody have that? Again, I'm just going to repeat it. The premise of the Brisker Rav is the following, that if he brings a Maisa Behema with a Shini Kodesh, then the din would be what? That it's kosher. You know what? Let's forget about Shimon Achi Azari. Forget about Shimon Achi Azari. Let's talk about the Tanakhama. Let's talk about what Zev said before. He brings a Maisa Behemel L'shem Ol. Okay? Well, the simple case. Well, L'shem Shlomo, whatever the Shini Kodesh was. So now let's activate the principle of the Chachamim. The carbon is kosher. You know, all the Bayim L'shem Chova. Says the Brisker Rav, even though you're talking about Maser, So you'll ask me what shaykes to talk about. Ain't all about the shaykes. The answer is he wants to be yotzei zayin iskiyav vod of shalmi chagiga, and the answer is he's not yotzei because we're going to activate the principle of chachamim that if there was a shini kodesh, then lo all about the shem chov. So he says no. He would be yotzei the mitzvah of shalmi chagiga. Why? The ulai, he's not convinced. Kevin de Chazinon Shiyochol Lotzeis Yidei Shalmei Chagiga B'Maser. Now wait a minute, what's going on over here? In Maser there's no Ritzi Karva. And yet, magically, he could be Yotzei Shalmei Chagiga. If he wants to be Yotzei Shalmei Chagiga by bringing Maser, and the nature of that Kodshim of Maser is that there's no Ritzi, he could be Yotzei Zainis Chiyuv Shalmei Chagiga. This is a Pella. The mechanics itself is just amazing. It undermines a lot of what we think about kodshim, because what we're saying is that here you have a karbon that's completely devoid of ritzui, and yet it can be meratzah on behalf of shalmei chagiga for another chova entirely. So he says, if that's the case, then the whole principle of eino ol l'bayil l'shem chova should be inapplicable. We're always saying that since he had a shini kodesh, then it's not ol l'bayil l'shem chova. That's not going to apply in the case of shalmei chagiga. Why? Because shalmei chagiga, he could be yotze even with a carbon that's eino ol l'bayil l'shem chova, because it's devoid of any chova entirely. It's afagav the meiser eibo ritzi l'bayilim liola. Meiser has no element of chova and kapara. So there's never going to be a ritzui, and nevertheless he could be yotzei zayin the mitzvah of what? Of shalmei chagiga, as if to say that magically somehow the korban transforms itself into a shalmei chagiga. In Cain, therefore, even in the Brisker Rav's case of chashav b'maser machsheva shalo lishma, right? Shalo lishma, we'll go with the chachamim shita just to avoid all our issues about namach shevahen. Then ain't zeh gorem, it shouldn't be the way the Brisker Rav said that lo yal l'shem chovas shalmei chagiga. Why? Because this shini kodesh is meant to remove from the karbon its ritzui, and by removing the karbon from its ritzui, you strip the bialim of yotzei yidei chovasam. But that's not true in this case, because in this case there was never a ritzui karban to begin with, and yet you were yotzei l'chiyuv of shalmei chagiga. To li'olam yotzei they have shalmei chagiga b'maser after in all the bialim l'shem chova. This is already the Rosh Hashiva. There's no longer the Brisker Rav. Yeah.
I don't understand the mechanics in one area. You have a karban b'chor, and you want it to be
a shalmei
chagiga. And yet, the way I understand it, there's only one way you can have it as a shalmei chagiga, and that is, it is by definition a b'chor. You have to have a machshava that it should be a shalmei chagiga.
I'm not sure if who has to have the machshava. You mean the kohen or the bialim?
The bialim.
Oh yeah, oh, good. The bialim. Yeah, go on. Sorry.
So the kohen has the machshava.
Yeah, no, the kohen should have a machshava l'shem maaser for sure.
So wait a second. So it is a carbon maaser. Right? It is what it is. Right. I want the bialim to be yotzei the shalmei chagiga.
Right.
And I give it to the kohen to shecht it. And the coin shechts it l'shem something else, l'shem ola.
Right, he should have shechted l'shem maser. Because again, you know the phrase in English?
L'shem maser, l'shem shalmei chagiga.
Now, listen carefully. Do you know the phrase in English, you can kill two birds with one stone?
Yes.
I think they've even translated it into modern Hebrew. Shtei tziporim b'makah achat, right? So this is a very unique, magical karma. On the one hand, there's a mitzvah to be makrivit as maser. It's maser behema.
Okay.
But on the other hand, the bialim could have in mind that they want to be yotzei dechiyuv shalmei chagiga. The kohen, for his part, he's focused on the fact that it's a maser. There's no akira here. You know, later on we could talk about akira, so where sometimes you'd be okay in
the
shalmei
chagiga. The kohen doesn't have.
He's not in the picture.
He just has the thing. So
now he thinks about Ola, like you said before.
Okay.
So now let's apply the principle of Shini Kodesh.
Okay.
So the Brisker Rav wants to say, in this case, you're going to have to apply the principle of Ola the Bialim L'Shem Chov. The Bialim wanted to use this karmon to fulfill their mitzvah of shalmei chagiga. Sorry, buddy, you lost that.
Uh-huh.
The Kohen messed it up for you. Why? Because he had in mind the Shini Kodesh.
Can Can you say do that?
How's along the nefesh? I just want to if you don't mind. How's along the nefesh tova, and he wants to say no. In this case, he could be yotzei zayin. Why? Because the whole yisod of lo ol l'mayel l'shem chova means that as a result of the shinui kodesh, machsheves shinui kodesh, we're going to rip the bialim of their privilege to be yotzei, to be mekayim lechova, to achieve a ritzui karbon. Why? Because there was a shinui kodesh. That shinui kodesh and machsheves ha-kohen, suing for it, is going to undermine the ability of the bialim to achieve yotzei zayin, you know, yotzei l'shem chova. However, in the case of Maser, they, the Bailim, in a classical case of Maser, let's say there was no Shinui Kodesh, let's go to the easy case first, they can be Yotzei Neshal Mechagiver even though there's no Chov at all in the Maser. So you see that the magic here is that you bring the carbon as a Maser, and a Bailim can be Yotzei Nechiver Shal Mechagiver. If that be the case, then Shinui Kodesh, if the Machshavas HaKohen was an incorrect one, should have no impact as far as being Yotzei Zayin Shal Mechagiver. I think it's a brilliant comment on the Brisk Rav.
Is that true even if the Bailim was the Shochei?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I tell you the truth. Right now, I'm too exhausted by this whole thing to even think about that.
I think we said that the Kohen has in mind only data value.
Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know. Could we not get off on that? Because for that, we'd have to sit Zayin and Kiyum.
Would that change if the Kohen knew that his intent was Shalmei Chagiga, and then he had a Shinui Kodesh from that?
I don't know. Maybe if he had in mind L'shem Shalmei Chagiga, maybe that would be a salvaging machshava. But let's say he had in mind L'shem Ola. You know, L'shem. Okay. Now, Rabosai, I want to show you something else over here. And that is Simon Lamed Aleph. Okay, so in order to appreciate Simon Lamed Aleph, which in my book it's on page Lamed Aleph, so here the Simon and the page happen to be the same. You'll tell me what page it's on in your
Lamed
Beis. Okay, you finally pushed ahead of me. So for this Rabosai, we're going to have to turn the page, if you have the Gemara Zvachim, to Daf Beis Lamed Beis. Okay. Now the sugya in Zvachim on Daf Beis Amid Beis is addressing the issue of what's called Staman Lishma, and the Gemara is trying to work very hard to prove Staman Lishma. Were you with me when I discussed the Gemara in Gittin at great length? Yeah. I don't know again who was here, who was not here. So that's the first half of this sugya. But we're focused now on a Mishnah in Pesachim. So if you want to put your finger on the place, there's a line which is approximately 15 lines down from the bottom of Beis Amid Beis.
From
the top of that Beis Amid Beis, sorry. Don, 15 lines down from the top of Beis Amid Beis. A line starts with the word Ella. Can you find such a line?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So this is part two of the sugya. And at this point in the sugya, the Gemara is turning to a Mishnah in Pesachim in Perek Tomid Nishchat to try to establish the principle of Staman Lishma. Now, Rabosai, what I'd like you to keep in mind, since we mentioned the Keren Ora and the Brisk HaRav, is another machlokus between the two on the following issue. When the Gemara has in mind a principle called Staman Lishma, what does that mean? I'll give you the two possibilities and then we'll plug in the Keren Ora and the Brisk HaRav. One possibility is to say that although it was Mistama, let's assume Mistama means that he didn't declare anything or he didn't think anything, whatever he might. Nevertheless, we assume that he had a Machsheves Lishma. In the absence of any proof to the contrary, then we assume he had a Machsheves Lishma. But he must have a Machsheves Lishma. The Chiddush of Mistama Lishma, which the Gemara is fighting and resisting until you finally prove it, is that you can have a Machsheves Lishma even in the case of Mistama. That Mistama equals a Machsheves Lishma. The second possibility is to say no. There's no need for a Machsheves Lishma. That's what Mistama Lishma is. It's a much more far-reaching principle. Although there's halacha of shalolishma, that's called the machshava posel. So the first approach is that of the Keren Ora. And the Keren Ora has a long introduction to Masechta Zvachim, and we did parts of it here. And I'm always thinking in the back of my mind, maybe we'll get a chance to finish it. Be that as it may, the Keren Ora assumes that machsheves lishma, I'm sorry, that stama lishma means that he had a machsheves lishma. The Brisker Rav disagrees. The Brisker Rav is of the opinion that machsheves lishma is not required. All you need is to shech the carbon, do the avodos properly, and don't mess it up with the machshav of shalol lishma. But stama, the carbon is considered lishma, not because of machsheves lishma, but that's just the way it is. Now the Brisker Rav wants to prove this. And he proves it from Tosvis. Just one second. Dibra Maskil Zvachim. So if you're looking on Daf, Don, be with me here. Uh-huh. If you're looking on Daf Beis on Beis, you'll see the second Tosfos. It's three lines down from the top. This one I got it right from the top. Zvachim. You see such a Tosfos?
Yeah.
Okay. Now the Gemara establishes that whereas, this is the contrast between Gittin and the Lishma and Ksivas Aget and Zvachim in Kodshim, whereas in Gittin, Stam Isha Lav Ligerish and Omedes, in the case of Zvachim, Stam Kodshim, Stam Zevach Lishma Hein Omdim. And therefore, Staman is Lishma. Now look at Tosfos' language. He says, V'eino Posel Ad Shiyachavin Shalol Lishma. So there are two ways of interpreting that line. The Keren Ora is going to interpret that line by saying that in the absence of a Kavanah Shalol Lishma, he had a Kavanah Lishma. And we have every right to assume that he had a Kavanah Lishma until he has a Kavanah Shalol Lishma. The Brisker Rav understands that there's no such requirement as a Kavanah Lishma. But the only thing is, there's a halacha called a Machshava Poseles, which is called a Machshava Shalol Lishma. Now look at the next two, three lines in Tosfos. V'im Tomar, if you'll ask the following question, V'perakama dechulin, boy Rabbi Yehuda. Who is it?
Rabbi Yochanan.
Rabbi Yochanan, sorry. Boy Rabbi Yochanan, ikatan yeshlo machshava, etc. Now, what's the discussion about? In Chulin, we know that there's something called a Shechitas Katan. Says Rashi, the whole suffix of the Gemara revolves around Shechitas Kachim. The Alfinon Bereish Zvachim, the Be'ino Lishma, V'Shachat Katan, Kohen Katan, Ola Lishma. Mi havi kavana, Ola. Frektosis, I don't understand. What's this all about? He says, Hamashma hacha, the Gemara seems to conclude here, the stoma nami kosher. The ain't apostle actually having shalolishma. So I grant you, says Tosfos, that this Kohen did not have a machshav of shalolishma, even though he's a katan. He didn't have a machshav of shalolishma. You may question whether his kavanah lishma is worth a dime, whether it's worth anything. We would say worth a grush, I guess. And if we have a principle called mistama lishma, then the carbon should certainly be kosher. Why does Gemara vacillate? Why does Rabbi Yochanan vacillate as to whether or not a katan shchita in kachim is a valid shchita? The Gemara says here in Zvachim that stama lishma. If stama lishma, we should apply that to a katan as well. So the Brisker Rav wants to quote this Tosfos as a raya to his shita against the Keren Ora. Who can formulate how the Brisker Rav saw Akasha here, a proof against the Keren Ora? Who remembers the Keren Ora? Should we review it one more time? What's Stama Lishma in Keren Ora? that he had lishma. Mm-hmm. No, if that's what stumble lishma means, then Tosis Kasha doesn't get off the ground. Why?
The
Kohen is not capable of lishma. If a Kohen is not capable of lishma, or at least in one side in Rav Yochanan's Safek, so then you can begin to understand. Tosis says, I don't understand. There's no question in my mind that the Shechitas Katan should be a valid Shechita. Why? Because we have a principle in Kachim called Stamol Lishma. Now, if you go with the Brisker Rav, that's fine, because even a Katan can Shech the Karbon, and as long as there's no Machshav of Shalol Lishma, which again, you have to understand what that would mean in the case of a Katan, but in the absence of a Machshav of Shalol Lishma, the Brisker Rav holds the Karbon as Kasha, and that's what Mistamol Lishma means. So it's very good. Tosis says there's no reason to exclude Shechitas Katan in the case of Kachin. But if you go with the Keren Ora, that Stamol Lishma means that he has a Machsheves Lishma. You require a Machsheves Lishma, but the Stamol Lishma tells me that there was a Machsheves Lishma. Then in the case of a Katan, what do you mean there was a Machsheves Lishma? The Katan is not capable of Machsheves Lishma. His Machsheves Lishma doesn't register on the Richter scale. So I want you to take a look now in the Nefesh Tova, on page Lamed Aleph. Again, you have it on page Lamed Beis, we said, right? He says the following. If we're going to say that the Stamol Lishma means that even though he didn't have Machshav Lishma, it's considered as if he had a Machshav Lishma, we require a Machshav Lishma. Moshe Tzideh HaKeren Or B'Psichosel M'sech Tzvachim is Tzarech Iyan Mai Kushalei L'Tosvis V'Hashayni Katan D'Ein Lo Machshav HaKlal. In other words, halachically, we don't validate the machshav of a katan. You know, in Shechitas Chulim, we may say, God alone with Al-Gabav, he supplies the kavon, whatever it might be, but the katan's kavon is not a kavon. Umemela, lo shach b'maisav, nami, stamol lishma. You can't say that his act of Shechita has a stamol lishma to it, because stamol lishma means that he had a machsheves lishma, which we need and we require, but he can't have a machsheves lishma, he's a katan. So what is Tosis hacking about here? Muchach mikan, k'moshe bir agriz, this stamol lishma who did be etzem a karbon, the karbon ola, karbon ola. He gives an example of ola, but again, this is just one example of many. Omed liases ola. Now, as long as you do the hakrava kedasu kedin, it's a karbon ola. The karbon itself is kovel lishma, so to speak. The animal determines that it's lishma. V'din zeh gorem, she'af b'stoma, right, because the carbon is an ola, then the ola is done l'shma, because the ola is done l'shma, and therefore stoma ha'vishki tos l'shem ola, not because there's a requirement of machsheves l'shma, there is no requirement of machsheves l'shma, the ola itself is kovei, the carbon is l'shma, l'chein, even in the case of katan, which was not capable of machsheves l'shma, we call it carbon mitzad atzmo, omed li'asis l'shma. I would say, by the way, I'm not sure that this would be, you know, I give shiurim here on the Briska Derech Halimah, this would be a classical case of the Derech Halimah of Brisk. He doesn't use terminology of Gavr Heftza, but I think it would fit like a glove here. I don't know if I'm right. What he's saying is that there's one way of understanding Lishma and Stamol Lishma, which has to do with the Gavra. What's the Gavra thinking? And he has to have a Machsheves Lishma. In the case of Stamol Lishma, we can assume he has a Machsheves Lishma. Whose approach is that? The Keren Ora. But the other way of saying is that no, the Heftz of the carbon, so to speak, is Koveya. He calls it Ola Ha'omed Le'aseis Ola. But at the bottom line, what he's saying is that we don't need a Machsheves Lishma. And therefore, Tosis is justified in his question to say that a Katan, if he shechts the carbon, that should be considered Mistamol Lishma. Where's the Machsheves Katan? We don't need a Machsheves Lishma.
We could say, and we brought this down way back when we discussed the Keren Ora, we discussed the concept of how can that be? There's no place that, you know, mitzvos tzrichos kavana. Why? How does the Keren Ora, you know, why does all of a sudden mitzvos trichos kavana?
Oh, you're saying forget if I hold mitzvos ain't trichos kavana. So why back, kachim, do we have a requirement of kavana?
So we answered back then that there is a problem according to the Karen Ora. He said that there is a concept of misasik. You need to have a general concept of kavana of what you're doing. It could be that that's going to be the Karen Ora's problem with the katon. And you won't be able to prove anything from here. The katan in Tosfos' example, what the Karen Ohr is afraid of is that the reason why there's a psul here of lo lishma is not the concept of lo lishma as a lo lishma, it's that it turns it into a misasek, and therefore he's got nothing going
on. He's going on the first tzad in the Karen Ohr. The Karen Ohr finally shifts it in the other direction, but initially the Karen Ohr understood that stam lishma means we assume he had a machshavas lishma. Also, I saw it in the Masifta quotes it in the name of Baron Kotler, Zichron Levracha, that he also understood that Mistam Lishma is some sort of an analysis of his mindset, and we assume he had a Machshavas Lishma. So that school of thought is definitely a prominent school of thought. And I'll tell you the truth, the Brisker Rav is assuming that Shalom Lishma is a Machshava Poselis, meaning until you get to the point of Machsheves Shalom Lishma, the carbon is always considered kosher. You don't have to go through somersaults in the air to create a kavan of Lishma. The only problem that we had, and I think we mentioned this we discussed this at great length, is that according to the Brisker Rav, why was the Gemara fighting here against Tamal Lishma? Meaning the Gemara keeps throwing out possible sources to prove the principle of Stamal Lishma, and the Gemara keeps shooting them down one after the other. So then there's this phantom opponent who's the adversary of Stamal Lishma. According to the Brisker Rav, if the din is that the Ola itself is Koveh itself as an Ola, then what's the deal with Stamal Shalom Lishma? The Havamin in the Gemara, which is not just the Havamin, it's a whole sugya here that maybe we could reject Stam Lishma and hold Stam Shalom Lishma. Now what's Stam Shalom Lishma? According to Brisker Rav, there's no such din as Lishma. It's only a psul of Hashem Shalom Lishma. I don't know if the Brisker Rav is going to have to assume that maybe in the Havamina you have to split the Mishnah into two. Right, the Mishnah talks about Stam Zvachim, and then the Mishnah goes on to talk about Chatos and Pesach. Maybe in the Havamina of the Gemara, Chatos and Pesach is a Machshava Poselis of Shalom Lishma. But maybe in Shaar Kodshim, there's a requirement of having a positive Kavanah Lishma. And there's a Mishnah later on that has Shisha Dvarim, right? That there's six Kavanahs that the Kohen should have to have. That also seems to indicate that there is a requirement of positive. Of Lishma, positive Kohen. And not, you know, you're asking Gedalia from the perspective of all mitzvahs, but here we have six different kavanas. You know, I don't know of any other mitzvah like that fits that bill, but you need six kavanas Lishma. L'shem Zelach, and L'shem Hashem, and L'shem Rev Nicholach, and the whole business. So at some point in the Gemara, I think even the Brisker Rav is going to have to assume, in some fragmentary perspective, that Kodshim requires the Lishma. And that's why the Gemara is resisting this halacha of Stama Lishma. On the other hand, he's right that once we embrace the principle of Mistama Lishma, then we can understand Tosfos that Stama Lishma could help me with a katan. If you go with the other approach, that Stama Lishma is just a Machshavas Lishma, and another phrase, it's another way of phrasing Machshavas Lishma, why should that apply to a katan? Now in the second paragraph, he quotes another sugya. This is sugya Psachim Daf Samach Amid Beis. Now, I just want to make sure. See, I'm trying to fit in. I'm trying to look at the clock. All right, you know what? I'll tell you what we'll do. I was hoping to study a different sugya in Pesachim today. If you can just make a mental note of it, if it interests you, that on Simon Lamed Dalet, which again in my book it's page Lamed Hey, I guess by you it should be page Lamed Vav. You see that Simon Lamed Dalet? So there he quotes a different sugya in Pesachim. That's on Samach Amud Aleph, which is a fascinating sugya. So I'm going to defer that for another shiur. We'll just finish up Simon Lamed Aleph, Os Lamed Aleph, because Os Lamed Dalet I think needs more than just the, you know, the 10 minutes of time that we have till Mincha. So what's the sugya on Daf Samach Amud Beis in Pesachim? We're talking about Pesach B'Shar Yemos Hashanah. I meant to say Pesach. Did I say Pesach?
Yeah.
No. Now, with regard to Pesach B'Shar Yemos Hashanah, Rava has a fascinating proof from the case of Lishma and Shalo Lishma. So imagine the following. The whole year round, no, I'm sorry. Let me start again. All Kodshim, let me just ask you a silly question. Tell me whether it's good news or bad news. Mashavis Lishma and Mashavis Shalo Lishma. Mashavis Lishma, good news. Mashavis Shalo Lishma, bad news. Okay. The only exception to this rule, where everything goes topsy-turvy, is Pesach B'Shar Yemos Hashanah. There Lishma is bad news, and Shalom Lishma is good news. Why? Because Pesach B'Shar Yemos Hashanah, if you set it up as a Korban Pesach, that's going to pass all the Korban. Korban Pesach is only kosher on your Dalet Bein Arbayim. So if you're going to do a Lishma and Korban Pesach the whole year round, you're in deep trouble. The Korban is worthless. So what you need is, paradoxically, a Shalom Lishma. Okay. Now, how Shalom Lishma works to salvage the carbon, that's not for us today. That's complicated. But somehow it's called Akiras HaKarbon and Shalom Lishma, and then somehow it falls into the more general category of Akshlamim. Anyway, Shalom Lishma is a good thing for the Jews. Now, what happens if he has both Lishma and Shalom Lishma? The admixture of both. So Rava says, I'm going to prove to you that the carbon in such a case is kosher. Even though he had a machshavas lishma, says Rava, because we know that if he had a machshava of purely, if he had purely a machshava of shalom lishma, the carbon is what? Is kosher. Every case, says Rava, of shalom lishma is by definition lishma and shalom lishma.
Right.
How is that so? Because we have a principle of mistama lishma. So Rava says, if you apply the principle of mistama lishma to the case of carbon pesach, what you have is the structure that you generate is Lishma and Shalom Lishma, even though he only had a Kavana of Shalom Lishma. So it's odd, says Rava. We're going to have to conclude that when you have a combination of Lishma and Shalom Lishma, then Asi Shalom Lishma Umapik Lemide Lishma, that somehow the Machshav of Shalom Lishma overpowers the Machshav of Lishma, neutralizes it, and therefore the carbon is kosher. Otherwise, you're in trouble, because every single case of Shalom Lishma is Lishma and Shalom Lishma by virtue of the principle of Stama Lishma. Frek de Briska Rav. I don't understand. According to the Karen Ora, Stama Lishma means he had a Machshava Lishma. How can you apply that in Rava, in Pesachim Daf Samach? In Rava's frame of reference, every time he had a Machshava Shalom Lishma, you're going to tell me he had a Machshava Lishma? Das kenet zayin. It's impossible. You can only understand Rava with the definition of the Briska Rav, that the carbon is koveya es atzmo lishma. If you can assume like the Karen Ora, that what's considered stama lishma, how does stama lishma operate? It operates because it sets up a kavana lishma. Here's a case where the Kohen only had a kavana shalom lishma. The Kohen is a very astute Kohen. He understands that Pesach B'Shar Yemos Hashanah Chas V'Shalom to Shechnet Lishma, and therefore he declares B'Peh Mole, I'm Shechning it Shalom Lishma, and we should give him a Salash for that, the Yishkayach. He did exactly what he's meant to do. Says Rava, no, that's a case of Lishma and Shelo Lishma. Why? Because of Stama Lishma. How can you say such a thing? Bishlem, if he announced the Peh Mole, I'm shechting this carbon L'shem Pesach, and then he changed his mind and he said, no, I'm shechting L'shem whatever carbon he has in mind, then Nicha, then I understand, that's called Lishma and Shelo Lishma. Now you can declare, does the Machshava Shelo Lishma somehow undermine and neutralize the Machshava of Lishma? But in the case of Stoma, what's going on over here? You can't tell me that in Stoma he had a Machshavas Lishma. He declared the Peh Mole, I am shechting this carbon Pesach b'shayim of Sashana Shelo Lishma. So how are you going to set up Mistoma? How can you set up Mistoma Lishma when the man is yelling and screaming, I'm shechting it Shelo Lishma?
Up until he's yelling and screaming, there's the Mistoma.
No.
Screaming.
No, he picks up the chalas knife, right? Yeah. He's about to shecht it. He says, Rabbeisai, teidu lachem. You know, do what do we say in the Hataras Nedarim? Do not Rabbeisai. You know, this and that. I'm shechting this Shelo Lishma because it's Pesach. So you're telling me stumble lishma? What kind of stumble lishma? Who are you fooling? You're telling me that he machshava of lishma?
Well, he picked up the knife to go do shechita, right?
Yeah, but that's not relevant. The only machshava that's relevant is at the moment of shechita. You know, you can think shelo lishma from now till Mashiach tzai, but if he picks up the chalf and he has lishma, then that's not called shelo lishma. You know, if in the middle of his sleep, what Rav is saying is that there's a din of stava lishma, which according to Briska Rav means that the carbon is kovei itself as lishma.
That's the Briska Rav,
but I'm saying according to Karen Ora, you can't tell me that he machshava before he picked up the chalf knife. That certainly is irrelevant.
When he picked up the knife before.
No, but I'm saying. But again, Gedalia, you're breaking the rules here. The rule of the game is that when he starts the shechita, we have to determine tok kidei avoda in the asiyas hakarbon. You have to ask you a question: what was his mashava? Was it lishma shelo lishma? There's no room for psychological analysis here that really he had in mind lishma. What are you telling me? You're looking the man in the eyeballs and you're telling him, "Oh, you had a mashava lishma." He's laughing at you. He said, what are you telling me? You're telling me I had a machshava lishma? You know, in the case of a Kohen who maybe he didn't have anything in his mind, you can tell, well, he had in mind lishma, because that's what he really had in mind. But if a guy's yelling and screaming shelo lishma, and he's very justified in screaming shelo lishma, then don't tell me that in machshava lishma. Says the Briska Rav, which I think is this paragraph, and it's stunning. You know, in the previous discussion that we had today with regard to Bechar that was shechted shelo lishma, and he wants to yotze the mitzvah of chagiga, and here the Briska Rav says lo olo l'shem bailam. Here we had questions about the Briska Rav, but in this piece, the Briska Rav is absolutely stunning. Let's read it inside. He says, "Mavuar the afka sherchoshev shelo lishma mikri lishma ve'i avi stama lishma mitzad machsheves ha'oved." What does it mean, machsheves ha'oved? The coin is called the oved. Lo shayach zehecha the choshev lehedja shelo lishma te'akar le listama. He's telling me, forget about listama. I don't belong to that mistama. Do me something. Is the only way you could say it is the afal piche mikri stoma lishma, even though he's yelling and screaming that it was not lishma. And again, he's rightfully so. As I said before, he deserves a shishi, or shlishi, whatever it is. Da din b'etzav akarba sh'omid lishma.
It has to be reversed. But he just made a wonderful argument that it's not stoma.
No. Rava says it's stoma. So we have to understand Rava. If y'all like the Briska Rav, it's called stoma. Why? Do din be etzema karma and sha'omi lishma. But if you reject the Briska Rav and you right. say, well, mistoma means the Adam Akshava, the guy's yelling and screaming, I had to. My Akshava shalom lishma. All right, Rav Osei, we'll stop you.
All right, thank you.
Don't just take a picture of that.
If you need it, you can take mine.